Yay, we're on. Joshua chapter 4. Four weeks ago, I preached from this passage, Joshua chapter 4, and my message was crossing over our Jordans, I think. And I want to look at this passage from a kind of different direction this morning. Verse 1, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, so they'd already been chosen, and one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, so it's a big one, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, an interesting sentence to put in there, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. We're going to be looking at that this morning. This week, I came across a number of interesting stories all about forgetfulness. All right? And I'd like to share a few of them with you this morning. There's a story, firstly, about a city dweller, a person who lived in the city. And he went out to visit his relatives on a farm. And the old farmer, he gave a whistle, and his dog herded the cattle into a pen. And then it got up on its back legs and closed the latch of the gate. And the visitor to the farm, he said, wow, that's some dog you've got there. What's her name? And the forgetful farmer, he thought for a minute, and then he asked, what do you call that red flower that smells real good and has thorns on it? And the visitor said, a rose. And the farmer said this. He turned to his wife. He said, hey, Rose, what do we call that dog? Forgetfulness. There was once a couple, and you might be able to identify them with them here, but you won't tell anybody. There was once a couple going on holiday, and they were standing in the line waiting to check their bags into the airline counter. And the husband said to his wife, I wish we brought the piano today. And she said, the piano? Why, we've got 16 bags here already, and you want the piano? And the husband said, yes, I know, but the tickets are on the piano. But the best one I came across this week was this one. Again, a couple. There's always a lot of humour amongst couples. A couple had been married for 50 years. Put 5 years in there. So she said to him, things have really changed. She said, you used to sit real close to me. Well, he said, I can remedy that. So he moves up next to her and put his arm around her on the sofa. Yeah, but you used to hold me tight, she said. And he said, how's this? And he put his arms around her and gave her a great big hug. And then she said to him, she was relentless, this woman. She said, do you remember when you used to nudge against my neck and then you'd nibble on my earlobes? And he jumped to his feet and he began to leave the room. And she says, where are you going? He said, I'll be right back. I'm going to get my teeth. And I don't know whether you picked up the theme this morning. It's about remembrance and it's about forgetfulness. Having a memory is a wonderful thing. Having memories can be very wonderful too. That's why we have things like birthdays and anniversaries and things like memorial days to help us remember to celebrate things that are important to us. And your birthday is important. And your wedding anniversary is important. Then there's things like souvenirs, photographs, snapshots. Even these days, you've got to say videos. Okay? And they all help us to remember trips and places and holidays and events and things that happen to us. But you know, memories always, they aren't always good. They aren't always good. And if these memories aren't dealt with properly, they can have a real damaging effect on our lives and the development of our lives. That's why here in the church, we've been running what we call Freedom in Christ. And Freedom in Christ is a course that is really based upon, there are lots of things in our lives that we go through, that we pick up, and they happen in the past, and they can have a negative effect on how we view things, how we see things as they really are. And they can prevent us, and I'm glad somebody prayed out today, about living in victory. The Bible uses a wonderful word, and the Apostle John, in chapter 5 of his first letter, uses it three times in that particular, the first few verses of that chapter. And he speaks of us as being overcomers. I love that word. You overcome whatever happens to you in your life. That's how God wants us to be and to live. And so this morning, I want us to think about a pile of stones that I read out of Joshua chapter 4. A pile of stones taken out of a river, the River Jordan. What do they mean? What's the significance of, and what was the significance of this pile of stones to the people of Israel? Now, the answer is found in Deuteronomy. There are 55 places in the Bible, Old and New Testament, that mention about forgetting God. 55. And here's one of them, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12. And here, Moses issues a warning to Israel just before they enter the promised land. Now remember, he's not going to go in because of his anger. He sees it from a distance, top of a mountain, but never sets foot into the promised land. But this was the warning that God brought to the people of Israel through Moses. And it begins, beware. Beware of the dog. Okay? Beware. Be careful. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You've got to be careful. We don't forget the Lord. Now, this word in Joshua chapter 4, for the word memorial, is the meaning of the Hebrew word is actually to remember. These stones were to help them remember. And given that men and women, their tendency, what? To forget things. Irrespective of whether you're getting old or not, don't just say, hey, it's the old folk that forget things. We all do. Because of this forgetfulness, it's little wonder then that memorials play a frequent part in the role in biblical history. Things to cause us to remember. Now, what kind of memorials do we find in the scriptures? Well, there's one in the Old Testament. It's actually it's at the foot of Mount Sinai. And here, Moses built what? An altar of stones. And that was to commemorate God's promise, his covenant with Israel. That was at the bottom of the Mount Sinai. Then, in the New Testament, you know the phrase, on the night before he died, what did Jesus do? He instituted the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine. The Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, the Eucharist. And it was to help his disciples to remember. How wonderful that we sang about it. Helped us to remember the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It was the means of our salvation, and it still is. The cross still is the sole means of our salvation. And so it's very, very important in our lives as Christians to keep remembering that. Keep remembering the central position of the cross and what happened on the cross and who died on the cross and how we relate to the cross in our lives. His body broken as a sacrifice. His blood shed, giving his lifeblood for our sins to be forgiven. And so that's why Jesus left us that. It wasn't just to give us something to look at and to think. It wasn't for us to think about, but to remember. It is so important, this communion. And so here we see in Joshua chapter 4, all right? We see God's command to his people. Don't forget, it was God's command. It wasn't a good idea on the part of the people of Israel. Oh, let's build a little altar here, a little pile of stones. Because if you go up in the lakes, there's people make little piles of stones, don't they? What do they call, Angela? I've just forgotten. Cairns. A cairn, do it. You know, it's got cairns. All right? Because they help direct up in the mist. Wasn't it wonderful coming today? On the motorway. I loved it. Couldn't see a thing. And what did I say? This is a walk of, when a driver faith. I was driving along and it was foggy. It was wonderful. And then as I was driving along, I thought, oh Lord, Spirit, let me run with this as I'm driving. That's a bit of a thing about that one, run it when I'm driving. And cars came by with lights on. And I tucked in behind them. And I was thinking, my mind was going. This is how we... What did Jesus say? Run ahead of me? No, he said, follow. And so I was following this car. And I knew that exit 3 was coming up soon. But it was foggy. And then this car started ding, 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 indicating. And I looked up. I could see it blurred. And then it just came into view, exit 3. And I pulled off. But I had to stop following that car. Do you know why? He was going to Bolton and I was going to Blackburn. All right? So sometimes we follow. Sometimes you've got to make sure, you know, we know where we're going. So it was God's command to take this pile of stones out the middle of the river. What did that mean? What did that mean? What did God want them to remember from this? And are there any things in our lives that should cause us to remember certain things that God's done? First thing then, the pile of stones, and I got, 5 points. I'm going to be quick. Five points. The first one, the pile of stones. You're cringing, I can tell. I feel it. Don't bother me though. Thick skin. The pile of stones was to help them remember what God had done. That's what the stones were for. Okay? Help them to remember what God had done. In other words, the stones remind us of miraculous facts. God did that. We'll see what he did in a moment. And these stones shall be for you a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Not just you guys, but forever. Now, memories, like I said before, can be good or bad. Good or bad. The memorial stones were to be a reminder to those people who were there on the ground when it happened. Those who were there when they saw what God did as they were crossing the River Jordan, to see what God did. It had happened before, didn't it? Where did it happen before? Red Sea. 40 years before, God had parted the Red Sea. And here he is, 40 years later, God knew how to do it at the River Jordan. And there he is. And these people were to be your and I witness. You were right there. It wasn't just whispered to you, passed on to you. You were there. And that's what God wanted them to realize. To remember what they'd seen. And we would say, remember, how did you feel when you saw God do that? Perform that miracle. How did you feel? You didn't just see it. It induced a feeling. Now God, Christians actually refer to this, I'm going to bear witness to this. And I was so thrilled when people were praying out, giving thanks this morning. For this was things that God had done this week here amongst us. I thought that was absolutely wonderful. Firing off. And I thought, wow, God's done that. Oh, a different thing. God's done that. And it went on and on and on. And people were just firing off. And I thought, wow, all these different things. But my God, your God did that. Now, he's not confined to these little events or a certain kind of event. And I'm just thrilled about that, that people testing. I think we're on the way, folks. 4 weeks now. I've been so excited. It's getting better every week. Really, it is. I mean, I'm just sensing God's spirit is moving. Right? And there's actually, I've noticed two or three smiles. No, C.S. Lewis actually went home after a Sunday. Did I tell you this once? I read it about in his testimony. C.S. Lewis went home one Sunday and he wrote in his diary. Came home from church today, surprised. Didn't feel depressed. He did. You read it. C.S. Lewis said that. Good man. Do you know what that does? When you share how God has helped you in your situation, that blesses me. That blesses everybody who hears it. And if it doesn't bless you, are you awake? Spiritually to God. Because they're bearing witness. And God wants us to do that. Because it builds us up. How important for us, all of us, to keep telling your story. Keep telling your story of what God's done in your life and what God's done in other people's lives. That's great as well. It's not just about us, because that's a bit inward looking, isn't it? I saw God do this or for this person. All right? God was concerned. And it builds us all up in our faith. So I want you to encourage you this morning. Keep a clear memory of what God's done for you and what God's doing. Don't forget it. Remind yourself of it. Keep telling your stories. Why? Because it helps us to never lose the awe and the wonder and the glory of God. It's just another contribution to that. My God did that. My God intervened in that situation. But, you know, there's other times that God wants you and I to share with people. For example, don't cringe. How you became a Christian. That's, you know, nobody else can tell that story
the way you can tell that story? Can he do it in 3 minutes? Can he do it in 3 minutes? How? A man called Ken Leach challenged me a year or 18 months after I'd become a Christian. He said, Andy, you should be able to tell people your testimony in 3 minutes. What do I say? 1 minute, Andy. Tell them what you were like before you became a Christian. Just 1 minute, Andy. 1 minute, tell them how you did it. Tell them how you became a Christian and why. And thirdly, the third minute, tell them how God has changed your life since minute two. Since you became a Christian. Now, I can hear some knees knocking. Some people are a bit worried about sharing your faith. Telling people how you became a Christian. Well, can I say this? It's one of the easiest ways of witnessing. Now, you're looking at me, really? Yeah, because you can prepare it. You can prepare it. You can sit down and you can write it out. Why? Because we want it to be clear. We want it to be succinct, concentrated. Don't go round the houses. Don't spend 2.5 minutes telling them what your life was like before you became a Christian. Give it a minute. But that's not the main thing in your testimony. The main thing is how you did it and what God did because you did it. Can you do it? You can write it down. I think computers are wonderful this day. When I first started, you know, we had little typewriters like this. And if you made a mistake, you had to get the whitener out. What do we do here? Delete. It's wonderful. Writing reports for college. Wonderful these days. We were told we had to write it out by hand. The very best. I felt I was back in primary school at university. All right? But if you make a mistake, what do? You have to use that whitener again. But what do? You delete it. Now you can use that. Use your delete button when you're writing out your testimony. And then say it out loud. And say it over and over and over and over. Because you don't know when God's going to give you the opportunity. But you're armed. You're armed with what you're going to say. Because you prepared it beforehand. All right? There's a challenge, isn't it? I could stop there. But I'll move on. But there's something else about personal testimonies. Do you know what that is? And having an up-to-date testimony. People think it's wonderful when you became Christian 40 years ago. How it happened. Or 30 years ago. Or 20 years ago. Or 5 years ago. Or 1 year ago. But what's God been doing this last year? Could you testify to something God did a month ago? I can't even remember what the sermon was about a week ago. Never mind, you know, what God did. How about a week ago? How about yesterday? Has God done something? Did God do something for you yesterday? You've got to think about it. Because that's a witness for God. It's going to challenge. Can you remember what it was all about? What kinds of things give us memories? Places. Places can trigger memories. Just like these memorial stones in Gilgal. And I think we've all got a spiritual memory lane. What's yours? Don't laugh. My first spiritual memory place is a men's toilet. Phew. National Blood Transfusion Service, Quernmore Road, Lancaster. Because it was there that I got on my knees and invited Jesus into my life. It's closed down as a blood transfusion centre, but it still means something to me. Still there as a building, but an empty shell. But that place had... Sometimes, and it thinks of like regular, about every 10 years, I drive past. And I just have a quick look at... Well, I don't nip in and have a look. Oh, what a great, fantastic toilet this. I just remember that place. That memory. What God did. Then there's a place in Birkenhead. Does anybody know Birkenhead? Yeah? Yeah? There's a big park, isn't there? In Birkenhead. Yeah? And in the middle of the park, there's a lake. Yeah? You walk around that lake. I used to run around that lake about 5 or 6 mornings a week with my dog. My dog's name was Tammy, by the way. Okay. She's with God now. Okay. I presume. But... on the middle of, there's an island in the middle of that lake. And on that island, there's a pagoda. Why, in the middle of Birkenhead, of all places, there's something to remind me of Japan. And it was at Birkenhead that I was studying in order to prepare to go to Japan. Where every time I ran round in the morning to remind me that's where I was going, was this pagoda. Wonderful place. All right. So I wonder if you've got some places like that. Spiritual places. They remind you what God did. Remind you of God at work. Then there are memories of people. Click, 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 click. Memories of people. People who've helped you in your Christian lives. I'm so glad that Lynn's in children's today. She has warned me, Andy, didn't she, Mike? She said, remember, I'm in with the little ones this morning when you're preaching. But Lynn, joking apart, second to Jesus, Lynn has been the person who's been most influential in my life. As a Christian. Because she sees me when I don't look as handsome as this. Do you know it takes me longer every morning to look like this? I was up at 3 this morning. But God has used Lynn. But there's other people as well. They're dead now. In fact, they were dead when I first met them. James Hudson Taylor. George Muller, to name but 2. A life of faith. So key in my spiritual development. Have you got people? Wasn't it Paul who said, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. All right? We're not imitating them. They've just challenged us to be like Jesus. People. God uses people. Have you thanked God for them? If they're still alive. Well, even if they're dead. Have you thanked God for them? How they've helped you in your walk with God. Thirdly, experiences. God answering prayer. God's hand of protection. God's hand in guiding us. God's hand in providing. Experiences of that. Finally, mementos. If you walked into my little study at home, you'd find some weird and wonderful stuff on the shelves that I never dust. Lynn wants me to, but I can't move them. All right? Actually, milestone for me yesterday, I cleared the windowsill. Only because I wanted to put seeds on there. Okay? But there are little mementos you pick up when you go places. And you look at it, and it has a memory. Now, there are spiritual things like that as well. All right. Somebody gave me a rosary. You're worried about me now, aren't you? Have you noticed me doing this, haven't you? It was given by somebody in Japan to me. He must have thought I needed it. Let me just assure you, I don't use it. But it was a memory of, because when I look at it, when it's there, it's in a drawer somewhere. Okay, I don't talk, oh, my rosary. No, I don't. But just odd things that people have given me, and they just trigger a memory. Memories of the past. That's the first point. You're all right, Gwyneth? Okay. Second point. I can say that to Gwyneth, because she'll sort me out later. The second thing is memorial stones were to serve as a basis for sharing your faith with your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. That's what it said. It's to be a witness to your children. And what are they going to say to you? What do these stones mean to you? That's what they're supposed to provoke. Can I sort of gently say to parents, it is not up to the Sunday school, and they do a fantastic job, but it is not up to the Sunday school for parents, the sole means of them instructing children in the faith. If you read the Old Testament, it's the role of the parents. And so God wants you to pull out. And so they say, what's that, Dad? What's that, Mum? And if there's a spiritual story behind it, God wants you to share it to remind them of God's faithfulness, his mighty hand at work. Now, why have we got to do that? Just think about what's happening in our society. Recently, the Prime Minister made a law. And he made it possible for same-sex partners to marry and be man and wife, and they're able to do it in church, when God's word says no. That's where our society's at. Another thing, I found lots of examples of it on the internet. People having to go to court to win a civil law case that allows them to wear a crucifix at work in this country. That's where our so-called Christian country is. That's where we are. Government-wise, in many respects. You see, we're not to be conformed and allow society, pagan society, to conform us. That's for God to do, and us for us to yield to God to do that. Third point. They were also, these memorial stones, were to be a signpost to the lost world. When the people of Israel crossed over the Jordan and they set up that pile of stones at Gilgal, it was joyful. It was a time of remembrance for Israel, but it actually brought fear into the nations in the Promised Land. Your God did that. Your God held back the waters and you all walked over. Your God did that. Now, I'm not saying that these miraculous outpourings of God and miracles are to frighten people. They're not. But they're to be a testimony, a witness to the world that our God still does those things. He's still almighty. He's still powerful. And God wants us to be salt and light. How do you taste spiritually? Do you taste salty this morning? Your life, as people see it, is it salty? Pure. Salt purifies. One of the uses for salt was and still is purification. We've got to be pure, holy before people. How about light? Light pointing people where? To God. To point people to God. We've got to be salt and we've got to be light. Fourthly, hey, we're moving along now. Oh, it was to be a time for Israel, is making this pile of stones, to actually renew their personal commitment to God. Putting the stones up. One from each tribe. No tribe was left out. That covered all the people. And it was a time for personally committing yourself to God. Now, there is one verse, verse 7, that has a sort of a secondary meaning behind it. And it's this. If you read, let me just read verse 7 for you again. No, not 10. There we go. 8. Did I say 10? No, it's not 10. Ah, there we are. Verse 8. 8. We didn't read. I think we just read 7. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of Israel, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to the camp where they put them down. Verse 9. Joshua set up the 12 stones. And there are some commentators that actually say Joshua took out his own 12 stones. Same time. He made a personal commitment, a dedication of himself here to remember his God. And I believe that's one of the significances of that pile of stones. You see, it's very easy to get caught up, even in Christian circles, with the crowd. We're doing this. But God will whisper to us and say, but Andy, are you doing it? Are you setting yourself to do this? Are you? Yeah, I agree totally with testifying and sharing your testimony with people that you meet. But that's for them, not me. And I believe God's saying, yep, Andy, but it's for you. It's a personal commitment to pray, to read God's word, to walk in holiness. It's not just a group thing. It's an individual thing. Because God is concerned about his people, but he's concerned also about those who make up his people, which are individuals. So he challenges us about that. It was a private act for Joshua. Fifthly, yeah, we're there. Let's recap. First one, what was it for? Oh dear. To remember what God has done. Well done, Angela. 5 points. Second point. Oh, you can't go for two. That's 10 points. Remind our children. May I ask, young lady, could you just give them a chance on this side? All right? Remind your children, or they'll ask you, what are these stones for? We tell them. Anything else? Third. Oh, experiences. Yes. That was in the long list of the 4 different ways. Yeah. But, yes, people outside. Shock them. Or impress them. 5 points. Well done. A personal commitment. I'm glad it's worked out even. Don't want anybody to go home crying today. All right. The fifth point, because I told you there was five. Fifth point is this. These pile of stones were to be a reminder that the old defeats had gone. The old defeats in life had gone. The problems they'd overcome. That's why I thought this word overcome was so wonderful. Okay? How? How? Well, it actually says in verse, where did they do it? Where did they set up this pile of stones? Well, it actually says they set them up by the side of the river in a place called Gilgal, right? And Gilgal was on the eastern border of Jericho. They're going to go to Jericho, all right? That's next port of call. We all know, you know, the ice cream place in Jericho, the promised land. You know what it's called? Walls of Jericho. Okay? Okay. So, you got it. You got it. That was going to be the next place where God was going to work. Sadly, third place, city of Ai. Not a nice thing to think about. But Gilgal. Now, Gilgal actually means the name. The reproach or the punishment has been rolled away. That's the meaning of Gilgal. We set up this little pile of stones at the place where reproach of God has been rolled away. And it happened on the 10th day, exactly 40 years later, on the first month of the year. From when? It's when they were released from slavery in Egypt. That was a place of bondage. 40 years ago to the day, they set up those stones in Gilgal, and that meant the reproach was rolled away. They didn't need to be defeated anymore by what had gone on before in bondage. And also all those 40 years, right? It was the dawn of a great new beginning in the life of the people of Israel when they crossed the Jordan River. Beforehand, the 40 years before, what had they done? They rebelled against God. That's why they were out there walking for 40 years. All right? But that was no more. They were going in to follow God. They were going in and they were going to follow God. What other thing were they doing? I don't like this manna. I'm fed up of manna. And a locust, boy, you can keep them. They were complaining. No more. Because they're going into the promised land. And there's wonderful stuff. Fruit, everything. Diet of manna and locusts, no more. They enjoyed it when they first got it, but, you know, too much of a good thing. Okay? And they were no longer going to be wandering. Not, but wandering around. 40 years. But they now had direction. Going back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, what did God tell Joshua? The challenge and the promise. Joshua, you're going to lead the people into the promised land. And guess what, Joshua? Wherever you put your feet, wherever you go, I'm going to give it to you. What a promise to Joshua. You're going to be victorious. But you can't just sit there, Josh, and think about it. You've got to start walking. Wherever you put your feet, I'm going to give you. Those five things. I wondered today, Lord, what are you saying to us? What are you saying to us? Let's go backwards. Have you got areas of defeat in your Christian life? Build a spiritual pile of stone. Say, that's it. No more. I'm going to move on. This is a new day If I'm succumbing to temptation, to sin, to anything else, Lord, I'm going to promise to you today, no more. Please help me. Please help me. No, I'm going to remember this day because it's when Lord, I'm taking hold of you today. I'm not going to be defeated in this. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hang on to you. The fourth, anger. Yeah, I'm going to commit myself with all these people, but it's me and you, God, here. Personal dedication. I'm going to do that, Lord. Whatever it takes. I'm going to tell you today, I believe up here, I heard, imagined Jesus talking to the Father. And I believe, you know, it actually says, there's two, I was actually meditating on Hebrews 12:2. And what came, because it actually says that after the persecution, all that Jesus went through, all that he went through, he then took his rightful place alongside the Father in the right-hand side of the Father. That is a place signifying honour, glory, power and authority. Way back in Hebrews 7:25, it talks about Jesus forever making intercession for us. And God brought those two promises together for me. And I believe, to encourage me, and I want to share it, is that Jesus was saying to Father, he was saying, Father, you see those lot down there? I'm going to pray, I'm praying for them. Should we let them run with that? I never heard the Father speaking back. It was just Jesus. And it was as though Jesus was having a conversation with the Father, because he was there interceding. And he was talking. And he was calling him Father. He was calling him Father. And I believe God does that for us. He intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. This morning, I want to leave that with you. You're the pile of stones. God, mightily at work, tell your children. Tell those outside of the church. Personal dedication to God. God wants a response from us. And it's a bit like a byproduct. We don't need to be defeated. We can be overcomers. Dave, can I hand back to you?